Michelle Gomez is one of those actors whose name you may well know, but if you don't, you've certainly seen the face in innumerable British sitcoms and American dramas. In recent times, she's been a baddie as Missy, aka The Master, Doctor Who's female nemesis, and Lilith in the hit show The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Michelle also played the angry Miranda Croft in HBO's The Flight Attendant. She's in Auckland as one of the stars of Armageddon Winter at the Auckland Showgrounds this weekend. It's the first big Armageddon event since COVID, with 70,000 fans expected through the doors to meet the celebs and celebrate the many fantasy, sci-fi and gaming universes that so many people immerse themselves in. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, New Zealand.
Welcome, welcome to New Zealand. Have you been here before?
No, I have never been here. I'm like pinching myself. This is like on the top of my wish list. So I'm very, very happy to be here.
What role are you most recognised for?
You know, it's really interesting you asked me that, because I haven't done conventions for quite a while, and I did one the other day, and normally it's, when I'm doing conventions, it's Doctor Who pretty much across the board, but I noticed this time round, with a kind of five-year break, that Sabrina was up there big time. So I would say like Sabrina and Doctor Who, and then a close third would be Flight Attendant. And then Doom Patrol. But on the street, I live in New York. It's mostly Flight Attendant.
Huh.
It depends what city I'm in. Yeah, depends where I am.
Why do you live in New York and not in LA? Cliche question, but good to ask.
Yeah. No. I'm happy to answer that. We lived in LA for about 5 years, and the kind of novelty of it wore off after a couple of years. And, you know, being Scottish through and through, I started to feel like really thrown that every day was 70 degrees and sunny, and it just felt weird and like a bit kind of Groundhog Day. And I kind of missed the romance of the seasons, and I kind of missed the rain, to be honest. That's one reason. Then the other reason was the grandparents live in New York, and we just had our son Harry, and we wanted to be closer to them. And then as soon as we got to New York, we were both, my husband and I, both went across with jobs in New York. And then it just felt like, it felt more like a city that we understood. Like, I come from Glasgow, Jack comes from London, and LA didn't have like that kind of center, that kind of core to its city. It felt very like a sort of urban sprawl. Whereas in New York or London or Glasgow, you know, there's a kind of, you can really, it's kind of tangible, a kind of pulsing energy to it. And we really responded to that. And our son was born in LA and has lived his entire life in New York. And, you know, you kind of, the kids kind of choose where you live in terms of prioritizing school and stuff. So, you know, he's in the school system there. So it just kind of drifted on. And before you know it, you know, we've been there for, I don't know, like 12 years or so, 15.
Will you get to walk around here? Because what you're also talking about are cities that you can walk around.
Yeah, I'm really hoping so. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I came, because initially I was booked on an Australian trip. And then it looked like when they invited me to come to New Zealand, I was like, well, yeah, I could kind of like do both. So I took advantage of that. And it's now given me the opportunity to explore Auckland, you know, and I think like some of it will be on foot, but, you know, I'm going to rent a car and I'm going to explore the North Island pretty much.
Oh, I so wish that we could talk at the end and find out who you got recognised as.
I feel if I was a betting man, of which I'm neither, probably Doctor Who. I feel like Doctor Who will be strong here.
Yeah, I do too. But I'm also hoping that people recognise you for your roles in Psycho Bitches.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That was quite a show. Oh my God. That was wonderful. Yeah. No, I've got to do some good stuff over the years, I have to say. It's Psycho Bitches is really out there. As was Green Wing. Most of the stuff I do tends to kind of push the envelope a bit.
Are you drawn to that, pushing the envelope, or does it just happen?
I think, like as any jobbing actor, I'm just always delighted when a job comes in. It mostly seems to be dictated if you're on screen by the way you look. And so I mean, I've said this so many times in interviews, but it's kind of true. It's like there's not much more I can do with this face. I have a very good resting bitch face, which seems to earn me money, and so witches and bitches seems to be my niche, but I always try to find something that's human about them, like some redeeming quality. So that's always been my challenge. But listen, I would love to play somebody called Fiona or Alison, right? I'd love to play like a normal human being. But I think it's just, it's just how you look, really.
You were with the Royal Shakespeare Company, and then there's this transition where you arrive in comedy. How did that happen? Was it fast, or was it something that you wanted?
I did not know that I was funny, and I still, to be honest, I'm when you meet me, I am incredibly dull. But as I'm only get to be funny because, I work with some phenomenal writers, and I'm managed to kind of pull those words off the page, and somehow there's some humor in there. But I started off as a classically trained actress, and actually I can rewind to me and Brian Cox in The Master Builder at the Theatre Royal in Edinburgh, where I was his Kaya Fosley in another life. And one of the reviews was Michelle Gomez's performance as Kaya Fosley was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Now that was Ibsen, and that was me trying. Well, I thought I was being extremely dramatic. So I don't really quite know what it is that happens when I open my mouth, but even when I'm trying to be serious, it comes off as humorous in a way.
Humorous and also edgy and also pithy, all of those things. What? And you have a great command of language and a great command of
Thank you.
accents.
Well, I try. I do try. I do say, mostly that the only accent I can really do is Scottish. But then I'm asked to do all these other accents, and I give it a go.
Is it hard?
I make it somehow. I make it mine. Well, somehow. I mean, I actually just did a one-off guest spot on Law and Order, SVU here in New York. Well, no, hang on. I'm in New Zealand now, but in New York, and it was just sort of taken for granted that I would be playing American. And so it wasn't until I was actually on set staring at Mariska Hargitay and Ice T that I was trying to like find the voice. And somehow, I don't know, somehow it came, some form of an American accent. What I do find is a bit like singing, because I can't really sing either, is if you sell it, right? If you believe it, you can kind of get away with it. So I just kind of lent into
In that moment when you're looking at them, were you laughing
it.
inside, or were you quite freaked out? Or is it just another
No,
day
I
at the
was,
office?
God, no. I was incredibly intimidated because Mariska Hargitay is a force of nature. That woman has been doing that show for 24 years, and she's an outstanding example of just always being in the moment, always being prepared. It was like it's her first day. And you meet so many actors that kind of take it for granted, or they get a little jaded, or they kind of, I don't know, like they're kind of over it. And she is not, like she's right there with you listening. And I had a phenomenal time on that show. I would kill to get back on that show. I'm not sure my storyline would allow me to ever return to Law and Order, but no, I was genuinely very intimidated, so I had to kind of like get past that. You know, as soon as they say action, I don't know what it is, but something happens in my brain because I've been doing this for, you know, a long, long time now. So there, I guess I at this stage I'm a professional, and something just sort of clicks in, and I literally have to get over myself, get over the fears, get over the intimidation, and just tell the story. And that seems to work for me.
How about auditions? Do they get any easier?
Well, actually, auditions have really changed for a while now since COVID. Mostly, it's you're going on tape, and I have been in an. It basically took me 10 years when I moved to New York to get anywhere. I couldn't get arrested. Nobody was interested. I couldn't get my foot in the door, and so I have a lot of really disheartening audition tales, which I won't run through, you know. But it was really tough at one point because I'd had some profile in Britain, and you know, I'd come from the Royal Shakespeare Company, and I was, you know, I had a hit show in Britain, and I came across at the age of 42, pregnant, and it's like I was invisible. You know, I had to join the queue. There was a lot of people, very talented people ahead of me, and I had to kind of, you know, really lower my expectations and just kind of get in there. I mean, most of the time I wasn't even meeting the casting director. I was meeting the assistant to the casting director. And one casting director asked me, he just gave me some papers just to check if I could read. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm gonna have to like, it's all about managing your ego, right? And for a lot of people, a lot of Brits, you know, like they're just like they can't take it. And it's like, in some days I was like, no, I can't do this. I'm gonna go. But I didn't. And finally, I think the breakthrough for me was Sabrina. And since then, as I am answering your question about auditioning, I've managed to go from show to show, and that has been still blows my mind. But that doesn't mean to say that I still don't have to audition for things, and certainly for things that I really want. I have to throw my hat in the ring, but it's gotten easier because now I kind of let go of the outcome. Now I just kind of like use it as a sort of like meant to puncture my day of, you know, getting the shopping in or making the dinner or doing the school run. I just kind of like go on tape and do a little bit of acting, and then I forget about it. And that's probably the healthiest way to go about it. I used to like, you know, just live and breathe and pray that, you know, I got that job. And now it's like, yeah, you know, something will come along.
How did you not give up? 10 years is a long time.
There were moments where I was like, I retrained to be like a drama therapist, and I really did think it was over, and it made me very unhappy because I'm one of those people that, you know, I knew from a very early age that I wanted to be an actor. And so at one point it looked like that was over, and I had to either accept it or change it. And I wasn't very good at accepting it. So thankfully change did come. And actually, Doctor Who has opened so many doors for me here. Doctor Who globally is I'm still met with open arms, and in fact, I think one of the showrunners from Flight Attendant is a big Doctor Who fan, and so I was pulled from Sabrina to get onto Flight Attendant. I think probably because of Doctor Who. So I owe Stephen Moffat a lunch. I owe him half a sandwich and a soup.
Do you
Fuck it, you can have the whole sandwich.
get back to Scotland very much?
I don't really get back to Scotland as much as I would like. I mean, there was a big break there with COVID for a couple of years, so we missed a few Christmases in a row. And actually, we didn't get back to Scotland until last Christmas, and that had been a few years. You know, it's my life is in New York, and I, you know, did 2 years on Doom Patrol in Atlanta. I did 3 years on Sabrina in Vancouver. You know, a lot of my life is like kind of moving away from the pond, away from the East Coast. So family comes across to me sometimes, and we, you know, we're on our little WhatsApp group chat, and so we all keep connected. But yeah, I'm not getting home as much as I used to.
Well, I've also seen you dancing on YouTube, so you're not just an actress, if there's such a phrase. Is dancing with the stars something that's in the cards?
Oh my God, I would die to do. Actually, I think there was like when I was doing a show in London called Green Wing, which at the time was like a big surprise us all, but it was a big deal. And I think there was maybe some offer, or there was definitely some interest in me doing some kind of Strictly Come Dancing. It was with Bruce Forsyth. That's what it was years ago. No, I was initially a dancer for sure, and didn't really find my voice until much later. I didn't really know what my voice was. I'm just seriously a bit of a goofball, and I just love, you know, like just, you know, playing around and having fun. And I don't take myself too seriously. I take the work pretty seriously because I want to turn up and be there for my peers. But yeah, if there's any chance of me pissing about in the background with a soft shoe shuffle, that'll be me.
So at Wintergeddon, will there be a bit of dancing?
I'm sure there will. Yes, there is always a bit of dancing. Yes, absolutely.
It'd be a shame not to, right? Now, I heard that you also at one time had business cards made up with Michelle Gomez taxi driver on them.
Oh my God. I did. I had a, you know, there was a minute there where I wasn't getting any work, and in my soul I was an actor, but like I couldn't really, I was sort of embarrassed. Like, I don't know. I just found it all a bit like I didn't want to talk about it. So yeah, I had some cards made, Mickey G's cabs, Mickey's cabs. And so if anybody asked me what I did, I just hand them my card. I didn't do airport transfers. I didn't do any transfers actually, because I didn't even have a car. I just didn't really want to talk about being an actor. It's but now I have, you know, I've got some, I have a, I don't know, is it a body of work, can we say?
Go on, say it. Say
Can
body
we
of
go
work.
there?
Go on, go there.
Yeah, I do have a body of work. I do. I've done quite a bit now at this point. So I think I can safely say I am a bona fide actor. Yes, I will agree to
What's next?
that. Well, you know, we're in a little bit of a pickle over here in the US. We're on strike, which we should be because it's time to kind of make a bit of a correction. So for all of us, we're not really sure what's next. Everything's on hold at the moment. I have couple of things that I'm hoping will be resurrected once the strike's over. But yeah, we're all basically just being comrades and supporting one another and making sure that, you know, the people that really do the work, the writers actually, you know, get recognized. And you know, there is nothing, there is no content without writers. And so yeah, I think it's fair. We've all been told, put it this way, we've all been told by our reps, just take the summer off. So we shall see. We shall see.
So we could see you down here again.
Well, you know what? I'm taking advantage of this downtime, and I'm on a little bit of a cons global tour. And yeah, I mean, maybe you will. I mean, I'm kind of like gonna, after this, I'm going to Sydney and then to Perth, and then I'll be going back to New York to touch base, and then we'll see where we're at. I'm having my Antipodean adventure, and it's only just begun. Like, I've literally just arrived, so I'm excited to see what trouble Emma and I get up to.
The great thing is that you have experience of driving on this side of the road.
Yes, I do. Yes. So I might, have to reacquaint myself with that, but but I'm sure it'll just come back to me naturally.
One final thing, Michelle.
Yes.
I wish that we could say all the words that we can't say on the radio that you say so brilliantly, but we can't. But if there was something that came to mind, some character that came to mind now, how would you like to sign off this morning?
I can't say it.
Oh, right. Is there any language that you can say? I love it. People may or may not even know what we're talking about, but they'll just have to YouTube because I love how comfortable you are with language that, for
I
whatever
know.
reason, we can't say publicly on the radio.
But that's because in Glasgow, in my education, we were taught to curse as punctuation, right? It was in the curriculum. So, I would just say, I don't know. I can't. It's very difficult for me to articulate without offending somebody. So I'll just say that. Goodbye, ya bam pots. See you at Armageddon. I'm here all weekend. Try the veal. Thank you. All
All the
right.
best.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye.